Thank you, Lord. So let's talk about this. I'm learning more and more every day that God's protection is automatic, but not necessarily automatically yours. God's blessings are automatic, but not necessarily automatically yours. They're automatic because they're promised and they're in place. But aligning with those things is what makes them work for you. So I'll give you an example. I've been trying to say, God, get me out of Florida, get me out of Florida. I went out, I don't want to pay this rent. It's too much money. I don't pay this rent. Well, I got to pay this rent. I'm used to owning property. This is much money I pay. This is more than I pay for my mortgage. On and on and on and on and on. And I mean, let's think about it considerably. Like the house I own in Allentown right now, my mortgage is about $500. That's a property I own. I'm paying $3,000 in rent. That's six times for something that's not mine. So in my mind, it's like, this makes no sense. This is straight evil from the pit. I need to leave this place. This is not, I'm not being frugal. I can have so much more money in my pocket if I just move back to Pennsylvania and blah, 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 blah. God said, no, you're not moving back to Pennsylvania. Because Nelly, and I think Nelly, in hindsight, I think that's why God told me to give you the house. Because then I, like, no, you're not moving back in with Nelly till you get married. So you keep your heart behind in Florida. And it's funny because I kept seeking God about a date because that was the other thing. But then let us just get married then, and then we won't have to have this problem, and I don't have to wait no more. And you know, that's a different conversation. But let's come up with all of this. And he's like, no, you're gonna renew your lease. And you're gonna keep your behind in Florida. All right, I'm gonna renew the lease. But this time, God spoke to me. He said, the word says, I want you to listen close, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient. A lot of us can be obedient, but we're not willing. We're griping about it. We're complaining about it. We're murmuring about it. Think about every time in the Bible when God judged the people of Israel because they were murmuring, because they were complaining. Well, I don't know why things are not working for me. I'm doing right. God hates complaining, hates it, hates it, hates it, hates it. Look all through the Bible. Can't stand it. Like, even he'll give you what you ask for, right? Remember they complained, I don't want this disgusting manna. Remember? They called it disgusting. And then he said, birds, quail, running through the camp. And he was like, that's what we're talking about. And that, tens of thousands of them died with the quail meat in their teeth. So keep complaining. You're going to get what you want, but it's going to be the death of you. Balaam on the donkey kept trying to go. Told you not to go. Okay, you want to go? Go ahead and go. And the angel standing in the road with a sword ready to take his head off. Because lack of gratitude is lack of gratitude. And God does not respond well. You can't have praise and complaint in the same tone, especially toward God. This is big. Can't praise him and then complain about what he's doing. So I got checked. He said, you're here, but you're here reluctantly and you're here against my leading because you don't really want to be here. And until that's dealt with, we're not going forward. Now, I hit daddy enough to know not to play with him. So I said, Lord, give me a heart that's willing. And that's scriptural. Proverbs 119 says, I will run, not walk in the way of your precepts when you give me a willing heart. So if you don't have a willing heart, you can ask for that. Somebody say, you can ask for a willing heart. Now, I'm watching the Spirit of God deal with me about my obeying without an obedient or without a willing heart. I'll do it because I have to. God said, there's no blessing that come with that and no blessing that come with complaining. So I said, okay, give me a willing heart. And he did. And I came and I signed my lease and said, I will stay here until Jesus returns and pay the rent every month if that's what you want me to do. Amen. So the last time I was up, he said to me, now I'm releasing you. you can leave the building, you can leave that place. So I'm like, whew, I'm leaving Florida and I'm coming back up north. I have to pay this $3,000 a month. Amen. And I get home. And I get home, and this is in my mailbox. And I pick it up and I look at it and I said, oh, wow, that's like an island. This is sound around. That's nice. And I get ready to throw it in the recycle can, and it sticks to my finger. I'm like, oh, you want me to keep this? Yeah, take it on upstairs. I take it upstairs and I throw it on the table, going about my business. Next day, he says, call them. I'm like, for what? Now I'm telling you this story is important. You need to hear me out. For what? I've told you I'm letting you out of here. This is where you're going to go. So I'm going to tell you, I didn't go apartment shopping. They put it in my mailbox. And God said, you're going there. I want you to listen close. Are you listening? Because this is huge for the seasons that we're in. I go there again, kind of reluctant. But I went there and I found an apartment about the size of mine, one bedroom, $500 less a month. Okay, amen. And setting up an appointment so I could come and do the lease and stuff. And God said, no, you're going to get two bedrooms. Now I look at two bedrooms. Okay, well, now we back to where I am, plus add $200 more a month. I'm like, okay, he said, don't start that. Don't start that. Stay with me. Like, God, well, how am I going to pay that rent? My lease here is not up to July. Like, that's how I'm doing this. He said, remember what happened before? I showed up. You went down there with no furniture. You got there with a house full of furniture waiting for you. You know what I can do. And you know how I move if you're submitted and committed. Are you listening to me? Let me just ask you this question before I go on. Let me ask, this question is important. How many of you saying, I want to see a move of God right now? I really do. I want to see God show up. Like, I mean, I'm stepping out, I'm doing some things, but I want to see God. Like, I need to see God right now. Like, show his behind. I'll show off God on my behalf. All right, so I'm telling you the steps to this. Are you with me? So I said, okay, what do I need to deal with? So a couple of things I need to deal with. One, I need you to stop wrestling with me when I put you somewhere. Two, I need you not to wrestle with me when I'm sending you somewhere. Listen to me. When I'm putting you somewhere and when I'm sending you somewhere. And three, I need you to walk in peace with everything I took you away from. There's a whole forgiveness element in there. If I've separated you from people, separate. If I moved you on, move on. And I was like, okay. And I need you to start to remember your ex in a positive light. I'm like, okay, we're gonna need some work. We're gonna need some. You're going to have to help a brother out right here because he said, no. He said, there are a lot of good things, but you need the bad things to propel you forward. And that's not how I move you forward. Listen close to what I just said. He said, I need to move you forward, and you can't have anger and bitterness as your propeller. It needs to be in love, it needs to be in peace. It needs to be in forgiveness, and you need to be able to look back and remember there were very good things, but that season has changed, and not try to hold on to what was negative as your leg forward. Are you listening to me right now? That's big. It's huge. So I said, okay. And all of a sudden he starts giving me all these good memories. Now I'm sitting there with it because I don't know how to deal with the good memories because the bad memories have been an anchor. And I sat there and I said, yeah, I do love this person. And I do forgive them and I do want the best for them. And I can go forward now with that peace. And then This opens up. And then the story I told you, the yachts and all this other stuff. And I'm going, I see that being anchored to the past on any level keeps you from moving forward at the speed God wants you to. Being anchored to the past on any level, a past relationship, past friendship, a separate relationship with family, whatever the case may be, carrying that kind of weight and that kind of burden keeps you from going forward the way God needs you to. Now you're going to go forward because God's going to always bring you forward. But you're not going to go forward on the level that you're supposed to. And you're going to find your forward motion is circular if you don't hear what I'm saying. You know what I mean by circular? You go like this, and you feel like you're going up. And the next thing you know, you're coming right back down to the mess that you came out of. And so you feel like you're going forward, but you're not. You're going in circles. So you feel like you're progressing, and that's where the ups and downs come from. Hear what I'm saying to you. That's where the ups and downs come from. Going up, coming back to where you launched from. So the key is to release yourself from that so you can go forward to what God has called you to. I know I'm doing a lot of teaching today, but I need you to catch what's being said. The new season requires me to release the old. The new life requires me to surrender the old life. And sometimes the people in the old life have to be left with it. And this is part of the process of growth. And being upset or holding being upset against them doesn't work. Do me a favor, turn to Proverbs chapter 16 and get ready for some scripture. How many of you receive something from what you've heard so far? Good. Let's get ready for the next phase because the next phase is important. Very important. Proverbs chapter 16, starting in verse 1. This speaks to the whole story that I just shared with you. The plans of the mind and orderly thinking belong to men. The plans of the mind and orderly thinking belong to men. Stop, stop, stop. Don't read anymore. Stop. So the plan and the thinking of your mind, orderly thinking is yours, not God's. He gives that to you. If you don't have that, then you need to pray and repent to find out why you don't have the plans and orderly thinking. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what God has called me to, and I don't understand. Well, those are supposed to be yours. And if you don't have those, that means somewhere you've broken covenant with God where you can't receive them. This ain't to make you feel bad. Any man lacks wisdom, James chapter 1, 5 and 6, let him ask the benevolent God who gives to all men generously and upbraideth not, and it will be given to him. So if you're not getting it, somewhere I won't say you, so you don't have to feel anything. I stepped out of covenant. Somewhere I got out of line with God where he can get the message to me easily, where he can get the message to me without hindrance. Somewhere I severed maybe I got a cheaper service or something, and the cellular connection ain't working, but somewhere I got out of clear communication and I need to return to that. So he says, the plans of the mind and orderly thinking belong to man, but from God comes the wise answers of the tongue. So you come up with a plan, and God gives you the words and the means to execute it, but he gives you the plan. How is that so? I thought God's supposed to do everything. Who told you that? Adam, he named Adam, he gave Adam wisdom to name all the creatures of the on planet Earth. I don't know if you know that. Every tree, every bug, every flower, Adam named that, not God. He gave him the answers of the tongue. He gave him, and he had the plan, and he named what was to be named. Think about this. God didn't name woman. Adam did. And I shall call her woman because she came from man. Didn't he say that? That's the scripture. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but God gave him a partnership to flow with him. And God said, I'm going to be the CEO and I'm going to make sure everything stays in order, but I'm going to make you the president and I want you to run this. You name it and you do the hiring and you do the firing. God made that decision. And so you still have that. Say, I still have the ability to make plans before God. He will then guide my tongue. It's deep. Why your tongue? Because out of your mouth, life and death is in the power of that tongue. So I can come to God with my plans, and then He will guide my tongue aright. Watch this now. All the ways of men are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit, the thoughts and intents of the heart. So everything is going to be weighed, even when we bring it to him. But you have to put it on the scale to be weighed, and you have to be comfortable with God weighing your thoughts and intentions. But I'm supposed to work in conjunction with God. I'm supposed to be God's partner. Well, God's the pilot. Yes, but I'm the co-pilot. I'm called to be. We're not supposed to be babies for our whole lives waiting for God to come and jam a bottle in our mouths. We become co-pilots. This is important. Now, I'm going to read that one more time before I read the next one, because the next one is what I came here for. But these things, you know how I do, set up what's about to come next. So watch this. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but God weighs the spirit, when he's the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, watch this. Roll your works upon the Lord, commit them wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. You come up with the plan, he orders your tongue, you get it all together, and then you give it to him, and he lets your thoughts become agreeable with his will for you, and then your plans are established and succeed. Leave this out, and this is why your plans are not being established, and this is why they are not succeeding. I don't understand why God's taking so long. Well, let me tell you why. Because you either waiting for him to make your plan for you, or you making your plan and then you still trying to keep control of it yourself. Now you roll it over to him, and he, watch this, not throws your plan out, not tells you your plan is stupid, but he makes your thoughts now become agreeable with his will. And then your plans are established and succeed. Do I need to explain that a little bit more? Are you with me? You say, yes. How many of you have prayed for God to do something for you, and all of a sudden this revelation of something you can do comes to you that seems so far-fetched from what you would even think about doing, that it scares you to even think about doing it? How many of you are I just dive right out. If I think it's God, I just dive out. I don't care. I fail or succeed, I just dive right out there. How many dive right out people? So Kwame's, okay, all right, so good. So you see, there's a balance, right? There's those who are like, yeah, I want to wait till God actually does it. And then there's those like, God, give me something, and I just dive right out there. Both people are necessary, excuse me, in the walk with the Lord. That's how God made us. So either extreme, you're good. But he says, now you got your plan. Now that I give you the words that you need to speak out your mouth, why does he need to change the words you speak? Life, death's in the power of the tongue. We discovered that. Now I get the way God is showing it to me right now is like a prep cook. I'm not cooking yet, but I got the ingredients. And I got them all ready, and I got them all measured out. And now I come to God and say, I believe I know how to cook it and how to prepare it. But I'm going to turn it over to you now and let you finish the preparation. Is that scriptural? Let's see. So Abraham, God had him prepare the whole sacrifice. Remember before Caleb, Joseph, I'm messing up the names now. I'm naming your kids Kwame, Joseph, and Caleb. before Isaac was born, and then he, what did he do? He put him to sleep. And then God walked through the offering without him. These, if anything describes that best, this does. You set up the preparation, and then you get out of the way. You turn it over to me, I'll take it from here. Lindsay, what you shared earlier about the covenant thing, Nellie and I went through the same thing, knowing when to say, this is my part, and this is my partner's part. And this is God's part, and stay in your lane. God has never asked you to make it happen. And desperation makes us try to force God's hand by figuring if we push it so far, God has to respond. And if you haven't learned yet, he does not. You're not going to bully or guilt God into doing anything for you. It's just not going to happen. You understand that much. So, roll those works to the Lord, commit them and trust them. The word here is totally, wholly to Him. And then, if you do, it then says He'll take it and do it. He will cause your thoughts now to line up with His will. So, you do get to finish the work, but not before you turn it over. Then He lines up your thoughts with His will where they agree. And then your plans will be established and succeed. Watch this. The Lord has made everything to accommodate itself and contribute to its own end and its own purpose. Before I read the rest of that sentence, the Lord has made everything that He's called you to do with the ability to contribute to its own end and purpose. God, oh God, how do I say this to them? I so get it, but I want to say it right. Everything that God has called you to do and everything He has put in your hand to do, Celine, it's already aligned to do what it's supposed to do. It all works together in agreement, but it has to be according to the plan that He already had. It took me the longest time to understand, even with me doing the social media. Why are you doing social media? Because I want to get more followers and get popular. No, and try again. And that went on for months, and finally was like, to help people? And I said it like a question because I thought that was such a corny answer. And he said, and yes, you find a need, you find a hurt, you minister to that pain, and then you prosper. That's the key. That's what you're called to do in the earth. So wait a minute. I'm not here just to share deep lessons. I'm here to help somebody. Yes. And in helping somebody, then I increase. Yes. So my motivation is to align with what my purpose is, which is to be, well, I help people all the time. Yeah, but a lot of times you help people because you just want people to say you helped them. A lot of times you help people because you want to feel good about yourself and you want to beat your own chest and talk about what a good person you are. But God knows the difference. And God says, listen, listen. Just do what I told you to do. Somebody recently, the same old story, was in a situation and they was talking to me about it and they didn't ask me for any help. And I said, I'm gonna just sell them $100. Came in my spirit. And I was like, $100 ain't gonna be helpful. I could do more than that. I could do about five. And God was like, no, I said 100. I said 100. Well, I don't get to beat my chest at 100. But the person was really, really blessed by it. And it spoke to them how God gave them enough to get them to sow what they needed to sow so they can reap what they need to reap instead of me trying to be their rescuer. The Lord has made everything to accommodate itself and contribute. Everything God has called you to do can accommodate and contribute to itself. All the promises of God are yea and amen. That everything that God has called you to do brings its own function. You know, in the end, the vision will speak and not lie. Remember, I told you the vision knows how to talk for itself, doesn't need you to talk for it. The Lord has made everything. Listen, I'm gonna read this four or five more times if I have to. The Lord has made everything, say everything, to accommodate itself and contribute to his own end and purpose. Then he goes on to say, even the wicked are fitted for their roles for the day of calamity and evil. So even the people that come in your life and try to cause crap have a role that God could use. And this is where the people suffering people try to say, well, God put that on you. No. But the people are here. But they will be used to bring out. How many of you have had some people do some evil crap or do some stuff to you? And instead of you letting it make you bitter and sad and angry, and it made you stronger and made you your skin thicker and made you less vulnerable to that kind of attack ever again. Anybody? See, you became better because of it. Now you can do one or two things in those cases, right? Roll it on to the Lord or harden your heart. If you harden your heart, then God can't use you. So what I learned this from, I'm trying to remember, what is his name? The guy who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. You let your skin get thicker, you don't let your heart get harder. Your heart stays soft. You just develop a thicker skin where things don't get through to you so easily. If you harden your heart, you even block out God. But if you let your skin get thicker and you let your heart stay soft and malleable, God uses it and he grows you with it. Stay with me. Everyone proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting, hateful, and accordingly offensive to the Lord. Everyone proud and arrogant in heart. Not proud. I know people that's proud and arrogant. They act like it. Yeah, there's some people that they know act like that on the outside, but inside they're still very hard and arrogant. And they act like they submitted to the Lord, but on the inside they're strong and willful. So he said, everyone who's proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured, I pledge to you, they will not go unpunished. This is the scripture, and this is what I'm trying to get across. My heart has to be malleable. Even the people that have risen up in my life recently to try to cause me pain and harm, God said, even that, I'm making you better. But don't be deceived. They will not go unpunished. They will be dealt with. But you, in the meantime, all things work together for good if you roll your works upon the Lord, commit them and trust them wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Now, I want to bring it home with this verse, and this verse is hugely important to this whole subject. Verse 6, by mercy, love, and truth, and fidelity to God and men, but not by sacrifices and offerings. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't go here. I don't do that. He said, nope, by mercy, love, truth, and fidelity to God and men, not by sacrificial offerings. Iniquity is purged from the heart, and by reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, men depart and avoid evil. They depart from and avoid evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So let's bring it home. The plans of your mind and only thinking, that's what you need to be seeking God for. That belongs to you. If you don't have that, that's what you need. The plans of your mind and orderly thinking belong to you. But the word, but the Lord, for from the Lord comes the wise answer of your tongue, the way you now should be speaking over it. All of the ways of men are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit, the thoughts and intents of the heart. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit them and trust them totally, wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. The Lord has made everything to accommodate itself and contribute to its own end and to its own purpose. Even the wicked are fitted for their roles for the day of calamity and evil. Everyone, proud and arrogant in heart, is disgusting, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured, I pledge it, they will not go unpunished. By mercy, love, truth, and fidelity to God and man, not by sacrificial offerings, iniquity is purged from the heart. And by the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, a man departs from and avoids evil. And when a man's way pleases the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's your word for the week. That's your word for the day. Sit with it, meditate on it, study it. We'll go back over it again next week. We'll see what you got. We'll see if you put it to use. I don't want to keep teaching messages that you guys are not using. So, may the word that you heard bring God's blessings to you. Amen and amen. You ready? Let's grow.